Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Well, good afternoon. Today is March the 30th, and I am not in the same room with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
I know it. Technology.
We are in our own houses. We are listening to our officials and distancing ourselves from each other, and we are on a Zoom call recording our podcast.
Is it that, or is it just we didn't want to drive up to the building?
Maybe we got too comfortable in our pajamas, and we thought, let's just stay put. Yeah. And yeah, it's great. So thankful for technology to be able to do this. So Scott, let's start with the question that everyone is thinking about. So where are we, Scott, in terms of when are we going to start meeting again, and when are services going to resume and groups going to resume where they can meet in person? So where are we at?
Well, we don't know where we are. We We are in the Lord, and we are in Nashville, and we're in fellowship with each other. But in terms of the season, we don't know where we are in this shutdown phase. Yesterday the president extended, I always forget what to call these things, his stay at home, stay safe, stay hunkered down sort of directive. He extended that to April the 30th. So I assume we will hear that coming from our local officials, and sometime in the next couple of days, we will probably make a decision then and announce, you know, following those guidelines, what we plan to do for the rest of April on into April. So, that's where we are. We are doing the best we can do, and actually seeing the Lord do some great ministry even in this strange season that we're in.
Yeah. And I want to get there in just a moment, but I would say if those that are listening to this and maybe they're isolated at home and like, man, I just want to meet with some people, please reach out to us, the staff and the pastors. We want to help you any way we can. We're ready to form a virtual group if we need to for you, whatever we need. So just reach out. You can reach out to me. I'm on the website. I would just encourage y'all to do that if you're needing some community. We want to help you in that way. So, but let's move on to what's been encouraging, Scott. So, you know, often people are turning the news on, and it's been hard probably to watch the news. But what has been encouraging from your perspective in light of these days that you've seen and heard and read? What's been really helpful for you?
Well, I think more locally, you know, I mean, I watch obviously what's happening nationally and worldwide, but, you know, I can do something about what's happening in front of me and what's in my neighborhood, what's in my congregation, you know, what's local to me. So that's really where I draw my encouragement as well. And what I'm seeing is in our own congregation, seeing and hearing that people are doing ministry. Mm-hmm. More prayer is happening, more outreach is happening. People have told me about being contacted by other people in the church. So that just really, really encourages me.
Yeah.
We have people who are committed to praying for grace, praying for our ministry more than maybe in the past. So I can find a lot of encouragement in that. And then on a personal level, I've taken a little more time to read some sermons. You know, I'm always writing sermons, and I don't normally read a lot of sermons. I mean, I do sometimes, but not a lot. In the past couple of weeks, I've read more sermons from other people. So I would just say, you know, using the time for me personally, just using the time to feed my own soul, be with my wife, and to some degree, my children, at least contacting them more than maybe in the past. And then seeing our church do ministry. I find that to be very encouraging. How about you?
I know you've said too, you've just been encouraged by seeing people pray. You know, people have been praying a lot for our own congregation and for the city.
Yeah.
And so that's really encouraging. I think for me, Scott, a couple of things. One, it's just being in the Psalms. I think the Psalms have been really, really encouraging for me, because I feel like that often in the Psalms, you're seeing a person who's often feeling very anxious, fearful, worried, what's going to happen next. And he was constantly reminding himself of the goodness of God in the midst of that. And so, been really encouraging. I think also it's been encouraging. It's had Lucy, my wife, and I just really praying for our city more than ever, which it's sad that something like this has to kind of catch my attention. But I think just being able to pray for our city as a whole, I mean, definitely our congregation, but the city, you know, doctors and nurses and small businesses and just praying for people all over the city for Nashville. Yeah. And that's been really encouraging.
Well, you know, and that's good. And it reminds me to add one other encouraging note that I have seen related to our city is I think I get a strong sense that people really do want to help. They really want to cooperate. You know, of course, there's frustration and it comes out and is expressed in certain ways. And I'm sure there are many people out there going, you know, who are hearing that and saying, well, that's not what I'm experiencing. But I think generally speaking, we see a community and a city and congregations that want to cooperate and help and support our officials and our medical people, personnel in our city. So that's encouraging too, to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on. So for those that are listening to this, maybe they listen to our podcast and don't know what happens on Sunday. So right now we've been pre-recording a message by you and some music from our worship team. And this past week you were in Isaiah chapter 40.
Yeah.
You walked us through Isaiah 40. So here's the real quick question. Why Isaiah 40? I mean, Scott, you were in Ephesians chapter 1, I think, 2 weeks ago. Now you're in Isaiah 40. Are you just kind of flipping the Bible and just landing your finger? Tell us, why Isaiah 40?
Well, I don't have a grand strategy for this because I didn't know that, you know, we were going to be shut down for so long. I really thought when this first happened, I thought a week or two. Then it's, you know, it got extended and I thought a week and then it got extended to 3 weeks. And now we're thinking it's possibly going on past, you know, April, at least through the end of April. So I don't have a grand strategy. And to be honest with you, this has just been since this is a great chapter. I think if there's any commonality, I have read whole chapters in both the Sunday video and in the live stream prayer meeting. I've dealt with whole chapters. And the reason I've done that is because I thought, well, these are big chapters, and by that I mean big theme chapters that really press in something big about the Lord, the character of God, the ways of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the sovereignty of God. And so that's what I've been doing. And to me, you know, Isaiah 40 is one of those chapters of the Bible. It's a prophecy by Isaiah. He prophesied before the exile happened. But it's a prophecy about the exile having happened and God's people being restored and the Lord forgiving their sins and then showing his greatness and then strengthening them. So, you know, it's a big, big chapter that is designed to lift people's eyes to the Lord so that they can see the Lord and therefore have hope in him and gain new strength. So, you know, I just thought, you know, here we are in the midst of a strange season. There's some anxiety, there's some unknownness, and it's really easy to get our eyes on our circumstances and to keep our eyes, you know, low to the ground, so to speak, in terms of what's happening and let that kind of shape our understanding of the future. And really what we need while we're living on the ground, we need to lift our eyes to the Lord and to see his greatness and his sovereignty and let that give us our vision of the future and give us our hope. So that's why Isaiah 40 is a great eye-lifting, head-lifting chapter.
Good. So very comforting chapter, very encouraging. How do you see this chapter in specific ways helping us as we're going through life right now in the craziness of the virus and what's going to happen next? How do you see this chapter helping us in specific ways?
Well, the main way is the end of the chapter. It says the Lord gives new strength to those who wait on him. And then you back up and you say, you know, how does that happen? There's a theme over this chapter. I shared it on Sunday in the video. And that theme is behold your God. So it's basic to our theology, not only what we believe about God, but how believing the truth about God shapes our lives. That's what Isaiah 40 does. So, you know, it starts by reminding us of the greatness of God's forgiveness and his grace. It shows us that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. I mean, that's something we really need to hold on to. Again, I don't want to repeat Sunday, but yeah. I do want to stress again, we need a vision of glory. We need to understand God will be glorified. All things are for his glory. And if we could understand glory, God's glory, as the ultimate place that we can live in the presence of God's glory, you know, it just shapes the way we think. We see things differently. So, you know, behold his glory, behold his word. The word of the Lord will endure forever. You know, that's designed to give us that hope. It's another one of those characteristics of God and aspects of God's glory that we see in this prophecy. His arm, I love that image that we find here. It says two things about his arm. One, that he rules with his arm, and the other, he gathers his sheep and carries them with his arm. So the strength of God, you know, his wisdom. There's a section in Isaiah 40 where it says, you know, does the Lord need to consult with you? And you know, that sometimes we act like, you know, we need to be giving the Lord his counsel. Like, Lord, do you know what you're doing here? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Isaiah says, you know, the Spirit of God doesn't ask for directions from you. He's not trying to put us down. He's trying to exalt the Lord. So you need to see his wisdom, his incomparable nature, you know, that whole section there about not comparing him to idols. And then all of that to say, this is the God, and this is what I like. The question is, how does this help us? And this is what I like about it. You've got this great picture of God in all of his glory, in all of his strength, all of his wisdom, you know, his incomparable nature, the power of his word to be accomplished. That very God is the one who comes to the individual who waits upon the Lord. I read something this past week about waiting on the Lord that was really helpful, because we say, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? And this person said that to wait on the Lord means to believe in his promises to the extent that we live faithful to him. Hmm. I love that. The Lord, this great God, comes to the individual person who believes in the promise of the Lord to glorify himself in all things and to bring his children safely home and live faithfully. And he strengthens us. So it's just a wonderful prophecy that is designed to get our eyes on the Lord.
Yeah. I like that. Because I think you're right. And when you were talking on Sunday, I felt like the more and more you were talking about Isaiah, the more and more my eyes were focused on the Lord and less I forgot about the circumstances in our world. Not that they didn't go away, but it just made me realize, okay, I focus on the Lord. I think we even sang on Sunday, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the practice, right? Looking more on him, and the things of earth grow strangely dim, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good. Now, let me ask this last question to end our time. So based on that from Isaiah 40, what should we do? What should we do based on Isaiah 40 moving forward kind of in our day and time?
One of the sermons I read on Sunday in my own personal life, the sermon was called The Battle for the Mind. And it reminded me, a couple of lines in that sermon reminded me that right now people's minds are being taken captive. Hmm. Even this morning, talking to someone in our congregation about how difficult it is to sit and listen constantly to the repeated same message over and over and over. And that's about how terrible this virus is. And it is terrible, but it's one message, and it can seize up the mind and control the mind and dominate the thinking. And what I would say we should do is go to Isaiah 40 and great passages and chapters and sections of the Bible like Isaiah 40, and let that control our mind. Our mind, your mind, Justin, my mind is going to be controlled by something. It's going to be set on something. Mm-hmm. And what we want is our minds to be free. And the way our minds are free, Jesus said, is to fix them on the truth, to know the truth will set you free, to abide in the words of Jesus, be his disciples, know the truth, and be set free by the truth. So what to do, I would say simply but profoundly, take up the great chapters of the Bible, meditate upon them, get the news you need to get, and then turn it off and get in the Word.
Yeah.
And put your mind there. You cannot have a mind that's not rooted in something. It's going to be fixed on something. So fix it on God's word so that your heart will be built up and you will be a hopeful person. Hmm. Hopefulness will lead to faithfulness.
Yeah.
And faithfulness will lead to us being able to look back and say, look what God did. Hmm. So that's my encouragement is let's fight for the mind. And in fighting for the mind, we're fighting for the heart. We're fighting for the faith, and let's fix it on the word.
Yeah, that's good. You know, what you're saying, we were in a virtual community group last night and our leader said, you know, the question he's been asking himself, am I spending as much time or not more in the word than I am watching the news? Yeah. And not that that becomes a hard and fast rule for everyone. I know that if you're a medical professional, you may need to watch the news more for certain reasons. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I get to think what he was trying to take away was, am I letting the news control my mind more than I am the word of God and being in prayer?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I know we want to not spend too much time on this podcast, but I do want to say we are not, I am not advocating an escapist mentality, a life of just, you know, put your head in the sand. Don't look at reality. Not at all. What we're saying is these are the realities of life. This is the reality in which we live, but there is a greater reality and it is the sovereign glory and power of Almighty God. So if we can read and watch what's happening in the world and keep up and then bring great passages like Isaiah 40, Romans 8, Ephesians 1, mm-hmm. Psalm 145, these passages that we've been in, and we can take them and then take all of everything happening in this time in our lives and put it in the light of what the Bible's telling us about God's glory. So we can say that God's strong arm is going to rule and is going to carry his people through this time. We can say God's glory is going to be revealed in and through this time. We can say God's wisdom does last in this time, right where we are. So we're not denying reality, and our experience, we're putting what's happening in our lives under the lordship of God as revealed in his word so that we can be the people of hope. So we're bringing it together is what we're saying.
Yeah, good. Well, it's very, very helpful, I feel like, for us to kind of focus on texts like this. And Scott, probably wouldn't you say as well, in light of these kinds of chapters that are comforting to us and that lift our eyes up to the Lord, It's also helpful to know ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think there are some people that can say, I can watch news for 8 hours a day and still be in the word and it not consume me, you know? And there's some like, man, if I turn on for 10 minutes, I'm left in the tank for the next 3 days.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's a very wise remark. You know yourself. Don't know yourself and don't lie to yourself. You know, deceive yourself. You may think you can spend all day consuming the negative aspects of this and it not affect you, and you don't have to be in God's word because you kind of got that. I would say you're probably being a little self-deceived.
Yeah.
The mind is going to drift into the places that you constantly live.
That's good.
So, you know, fight for it. But at the same time, yes, I think you do need to, I think it is wise for us in these days to know our tendencies and our temptations. We talked about that last
week. Yeah, we did.
You know, in these seasons of, in any season of stress, our tendencies and our temptations tend to be heightened. Hmm. And so we need to be wise and watch over ourselves so that we can, and why? We say why? Just so we can feel better. What we're saying is so we can be faithful to Christ.
Yeah.
And hoping in the Lord, and obeying Jesus and seeking first the kingdom in all of life is faithfulness to Christ. And that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Scott, for another helpful word from Isaiah 40. And we look forward to another podcast next week.
Okay. Thanks, right. Justin.
Thanks.